through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Morena, how are we?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, doing it right, eh? Pretty over bloody lockdown season four, is it?
Yeah, season
like
four.
It feels like 3.5 in some ways, you know, but season four, yeah. Whatever it is, it's a pain in the ass, but we're getting on with it, aren't we?
It sucks, but we will stoically, in our very New Zealand way, trudge through.
Yeah, and it could be worse. We could be like many countries overseas that still haven't left it since a year ago.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Too right.
Hey, what's going on in the big bad media, Tim? What's happening?
Hey, well, there's actually a story that I like haven't done background research into this morning, which to pull back the curtain a little bit is usually how I do stuff. But have you guys been seeing the chatter sort of bubbling up on Jacinda Ardern's approach to this recent outbreak?
I have seen some stuff online about people talking about it. I haven't seen much this morning though. What's the updates?
Yeah, me neither. I mean, this is purely from just bloody Twitter, being up too late on Twitter last night following some stuff bubbling up, but it does seem like it could be developing to a major story that the family for this latest Papatoetoe event that has caused the lockdown may have been basically unfairly characterised by the Prime Minister, because the information that community had received for these so-called casual plus contacts might be a little bit contradictory, and it turns out that they might have been following the advice they were given from the Ministry of Health in the first place.
Right.
And the suggestion in the media stand-ups from the Prime Minister and Ashley Bloomfield has been that they basically contravened the advice.
But they went for a walk when they shouldn't have, went to the gym when they shouldn't have,
gone to work at various times when they were apparently advised not to, but right, that's actually been called into question. So
wow,
if that sort of comes to fruition, that the PM's got it wrong on that, that is a pretty rare misstep in her communications around COVID. Obviously, she's been doing a sensational job, but one with pretty big consequences for an individual family in particular, who have come out, basically have spoken to some journalists without revealing their own identities for obvious reasons, and said that they've received unfair treatment both from the media, New Zealand at large, and perhaps the government as well. So that's just kind of an interesting, slightly unsubstantiated story that might be developing over the next week to keep an eye on. But real stuff that we definitely know is happening: the Australian government on Thursday passed the final amendments for the News Media Bargaining Code.
Heck.
This is the law that scared Facebook so much that they turned the news off of the Facebook feed for the entire nation of Australia for 6 days. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO himself, talked to the Australian Treasurer to iron out changes to the law, which has been passed. And there's basically a concern that smaller media outlets are going to get left out of the negotiations, which...
Right.
Basically, what this is forcing, this law, is for these big online companies, specifically Facebook and Google, to form some sort of revenue sharing arrangements with particularly news companies, because they're leveraging their content to create a lot of ad revenue for themselves, and that's starving these journalistic outlets from money. So it's forcing them into sort of deal making, and there's quite a heavy-handed consequence involving arbitration,
right,
if they can't make those arrangements. So, yeah, as per usual, it's, you know, the smaller players that get left out of these sorts of conversations. And just a reminder that, you know, this whole thing has been brought up because Rupert Murdoch, who's a billionaire, has basically used his wealth and resources to try and retaliate against these big tech companies, which have starved his operations of some revenue.
It does feel like a bad fight all round when it's Zuckerberg versus Murdoch, and you're like,
yeah,
Team Murdoch. It's not
exactly
not a good innings, really, is it?
Yeah, totally. It just goes to show how crazy things have gotten. But I mean, there's been so much commentary around how scary it is that it's revealed how much power Facebook wields, and I totally agree with that. And, you know, we should be really cognizant of just how much power they have over our public lives. So
absolutely.
If you can get off, In my humble opinion, I reckon frickin' do it.
Hey, fair enough. It'll save you a bit of mental strife anyway.
Exactly. There's a really interesting story that the New Zealand Herald has been basically banned from Team New Zealand's events for the America's Cup over
what they're claiming is
a copyright dispute, essentially. Grant Dalton sent a letter to Shane Curry, who runs the Herald, that says, and I quote, due to a number of different breaches of America's Cup footage rights as a non-rights holder, unauthorised use of Emirates Team New Zealand images for commercial advertising, and what we believe is a lack of responsibility for the New Zealand Herald's own conduct, America's Cup events have declined the New Zealand Herald's accreditation.
So does that mean they're using like pictures or videos that are from the Emirates team and then not crediting it or something? How does that like break down?
What Team New Zealand are claiming is that the Herald has actually used a few images to basically promote themselves advertising for themselves, which breaches the terms that they signed for the usage of those images.
Got you.
And also that they have used more footage that they were allowed to.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting because that might be the real reason, or it might be because the New Zealand Herald was the newspaper that broke a whistleblower story last year around a high court dispute around $2.8 million that a Team New Zealand contractor paid to a Hungarian bank account, which turned out to be a scam because of their creative agency, Mayo and Calder. And this was leaked to the Herald in August last year, who ran a story about the whole thing. That incident was so messy that it stopped the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment from paying the regular funds amounts into the America's Cup event, and they were paying $40 million of taxpayer money into it. So it's there's a lot of messy bitches on both sides here. But
sounds it.
The outcome is that the Herald now is not media accredited, but their sister radio station is the official radio station for the America's Cup event. So it's quite an odd situation.
Crikey.
See if anything changes there. And finally, just my love of I don't want to say too small town New Zealand, but kind of small town New Zealand and local governments. Last week I talked a little bit about what's happening with Invercargill and the Mayor Tim Shadbolt there. And just a follow up, that the Otago Daily Times, which is one of our more significant regional newspapers, has taken a rare move in uniting with the Southland Times. And writing up an editorial criticising these new media protocols that the Invercargill City Council has passed for their councillors. Basically, what those protocols are is saying...
Ooh, hello, Tim. Hello, Tim. We have got some technical Tim problems.
Hey, we're going to agree to not talk to the media.
Hey, Tim, you dropped out for a hot second there.
To propose laws and bylaws.
Tim, you dropped out.
Sorry,
for a second
am I back?
There. Yeah, do you want to just tell us everything you said again?
Sorry, yeah, of course. So, what's happening in Invercargill right now is the local council, Invercargill City Council, have passed some media protocols that are, if you ask the right people, essentially acting as a gag order on the councillors from stopping them talking to the media about each other's conduct. And this is a brand new protocol that got brought in the wake of some very messy stuff that happened last year where councillors were criticising each other and there was even a court case. So the Otago Daily Times and the Southland Times have both united with some editorials criticising these new media protocols. And I have to say, like, I totally agree. It seems to me that all this is going to do is shield the residents of that part of New Zealand from what their council is doing. And like, local government is always full of these really crazy stories that need to get out.
Totally.
There's weird personalities. There's like often scammy stuff going on.
Yeah. It's you know, where TV series get all their goods from. You know, you watch a show like The Office or something like that, and it's kind of like exactly what happens in a local council sometimes, is that kind
exactly.
of vibe. You're like, lots of weird things go on, and actually councils have so much day-to-day impact on people's lives, you kind of need to know about it, you know?
That's exactly right. I think people do underestimate the importance of local councils in your life. Like, by and large, I think that they've got way more impact in your life than central government. So, it's just the concern is that this is going to have a chilling effect on basically councillors being able to talk about what's going on inside their councils to the media, which is, I think, so essential. So, again, kind of a watch the space thing, but pretty broad criticism of moves by the Invercargill City Council on that.
All right. Sounds like a lot of ongoing topics there, which I'm sure we'll touch base with in a few weeks as it sort of unfolds, Tim. But I hope you have a lovely rest of your Level 3 Wednesday.
Hey, back at you. Doing a great job, guys, I've got to say.
Cheers, cheers. You too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Tim.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.